From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Abb.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, September 15th. Here are today's headlines.
A McDonald's franchise based in Rutland and a Dunkin' franchise in northwestern Vermont will each pay tens of thousands of dollars in fines. That's after the U.S. Department of Labor found the companies had nearly 200 young employees working longer hours than they're allowed. Federal labor law puts strict limits on how many hours young people are allowed to work. For example, 14 and 15-year-olds are only allowed to work 3 hours on a school day. Stephen McKinney with the Department of Labor says in the current tight job market, more employers are relying on teenage workers to fill open positions.
So they're hiring whoever they can find, and often that's the younger pool of workers. So many employers, in fact, are saying, hey, this is the first time we were hiring 14, 15-year-olds, and they didn't become familiar with the laws.
McKinney would not detail how the department learned about the violations.
The state's leading child care advocacy organization has endorsed Phil Scott for governor, but the incumbent Republican won't commit to the group's top legislative priority. Let's Grow Kids and other advocates will pursue legislation next session that would ensure no Vermont family spends more than 10% of its household income on child care. That'll require elected officials to sign off on at least $200 million in new spending. But Scott says he won't commit to that amount.
Because I'm not interested in raising another broad-based tax in order to do this.
Scott says whatever money the legislature allocates to child care will have to come from budget cuts. Meanwhile, Scott's Democratic opponent, Brenda Siegel, has not only committed to achieving the 10% goal, she also says she's willing to raise taxes to make it happen. Let's Grow Kids Action Network says it decided to endorse Scott in part because of its strong working relationship with the governor.
A group of lawmakers and administration officials has begun working on legislation that would legalize sports gambling in Vermont. The Sports Betting Study Committee plans to have a proposal ready for lawmakers when they reconvene in January. Committee Chair Wendy Knight, who also serves as Commissioner of the Department of Liquor and Lottery, says Vermonters will have an opportunity to weigh in.
I think it's important to give people an opportunity to talk about their thoughts, their concerns, their experiences, and to have a public hearing.
More than 30 states have already legalized online sports betting, and a recent study found that Vermont could generate up to $10 million in annual revenue if it joins them.
The rate of confirmed COVID cases remains stable in Vermont, according to state health officials. In its latest surveillance report, the health department documented 445 cases in the past week. That's a slight decrease from the week before. 37 more people have been admitted to a hospital with the virus. That's an increase of 2 patients. The number of documented outbreaks at places like schools, long-term care facilities, and prisons increased significantly. As of Tuesday, there were 25 active outbreaks, and 17 of them were in schools or child care centers.
Coming up, we'll hop on over to Burlington's South End for some art. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
Thousands of people flocked to Burlington's South End to get their fill of art, food, and entertainment over the weekend. The 3-day South End Art Hop featured more than 100 art studios, restaurants, makerspaces, galleries, and other businesses. This year also marked Art Hop's 30th anniversary.
The event was created in 1992 to celebrate the art being made in repurposed warehouses and factories in the South End. Since then, the annual event has become a major revenue generator for storefronts and artists in the district. To get a feel for the event and to learn how it's changed over time, our colleague Jen Jarecki visited Burlington South End last Friday night.
A crowd of art hoppers surround a line of drummers playing near the Maltex building, the former site of an old cereal factory. After the sun goes down, Art Hop organizers will project colorful trains across the building's brick face. It's a nod to the first Art Hop 30 years ago, when the entire event was small enough to fit inside a couple passenger cars sitting on the train tracks in front of the building.
I don't even know what I should call it.
Inside, people peruse several floors of art for sale, including Chris Copley.
I'm a big fan of the Art Hop. I mean, I've been coming to it for probably 25 or 30 years.
The Richmond resident says Art Hop has less of a, well, art focus than it used to. That isn't necessarily Copley's preference, but he understands why the event has more of a party vibe these days.
Evolution, you know, like have a change. It shouldn't always have to be the same, and it's not like the stuffy art event. It's like it's for everyone. It's great.
There's choices at Art Hop, whether that means visiting a gallery selling $1,000 art pieces or a vendor selling trinkets by the sidewalk, listening to a noisy garage band or a DJ playing dance music atop a food truck called the Broccoli Bar. Courtney Power Freeman was a fan of the drumming herself. The Williston teacher attended last year's scaled-down Art Hop and says it didn't compare to this year's event.
There's a lot more people here this year.
Power Freeman watches a glass-blowing demonstration inside one of the open house studios, something she'd never seen in person. Artists are pulling molten glass out of red-hot ovens before working it into drink glasses and other pieces. Power Freeman says Art Hop is like a maze with new discoveries around every corner.
But we knew we wanted to start with one place. And so we started there, and since then it's just been choose your own adventure, wandering around.
Art Hop also offers more introspective fare. Down Pine Street, away from the festivities, a crowd gathers in a parking lot in front of a huge spider web of twine tangled over a metal frame, with each strand tied to a rock. Eerie ambient music plays over speakers nearby. Eventually, at the lead of South Korean-born artist Ji Young Lee, who designed the piece, attendees each take a rock and together begin to untangle the string in front of them. Polly Williams is watching them do it. She came from Barrie to check out Art Hop with some friends, but isn't so sure about this piece.
It's interesting. Oh, I don't know if I should be totally honest or not.
Williams is content to watch from outside. She says it looks like a bunch of white people are working through the maze, while sounds from a village in another country are playing over the speakers.
They had these balls all out here for folks to grab and sort of untangle this craziness. And maybe it was untangling the craziness of the world, which, I don't know, you come around to it, then it makes sense that the white people are doing it. I'm kind of psyched about what I just came to here.
Christy Mitchell leads the South End Arts and Business Association, which organizes Art Hop. She says some of the art should be challenging.
I think events like this are important to really showcase that there's stuff to see that maybe you're not used to or maybe you're not even comfortable with. You know, get yourself inside an art gallery, inside of an artist studio, and just enjoy it and experience it. You know, even if it's just for the first time, I think that really helps you to then know how to interact with art and artists in the future.
Mitchell's seen South End community members go from hobbyists to full-time artists during her 18 years around the event. Mitchell says there's something encouraging about that, especially considering Art Hop has played a role in revitalizing an area that had struggled after industrial jobs left the South End.
The fact that there's so much life in these old buildings, you know, that are 100 plus years old and have been repurposed to warehouse spaces to turn into these creative spaces, it really shows that anyone can do anything they want to do. Like even you could say, okay, I have a passion, I'll see what happens, you know, I'll start in this little studio space and see if I can make it work.
Mitchell says the next step is to make the South End more of a year-round arts destination, not just a place people flock to during big events like Art Hop. One way to do that, keeping up many of the event's installations for 3 months after Art Hop ends. Vermonters who weren't able to make it in person last weekend still have time to visit or find a new piece of art online. For Vermont Public, I'm Jen Jarecki.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Pete Hirschfeld and Kevin Trevelin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
Our colleague Jen Jarecki visited Burlington South End last Friday night.
It just makes me think of the Katy Perry song.
What?
Last Friday night.
Oh.
You're old enough to know that.
Yeah, I am. I know it.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.